Good afternoon, family, friends, everyone who's tuning in, our loyal supporters at this point. 2 years going strong. It is Wednesday, March 23rd. Today we have a bunch of different news from Canada, international, all sorts of different stuff. So yeah, welcome to the show, and Fatima is going to start us off today. Thank you very much, everyone.
Okay, so to start off, more locally towards Ontario and Canada. This was kind of making headlines. Trudeau confirms Liberals NDP governance deal until 2025. So Justin Trudeau says that Liberals have come to an agreed deal with the federal NDP to govern until 2025. In a decision, he says that will, in quotations, offer stability to Canadians during this uncertain time. So what this would mean is that during this uncertain time, the government can function with predictability and stability and present and implement budgets and get things done for Canadians. So that's what's been promised. And Trudeau says that the deal is aimed at acting on key policy areas where, Liberals and NDPs share similar objectives. So this would include taxing financial institutions and acting on climate change and when it comes to pharmacy and dental care. So all those major things will be kind of tackled as well. So we'll see how that goes. And then more on the international aspect, there was another news story that was kind of making headlines. So China Eastern plane crash had happened. And so the plane was carrying 132 people. It crashed a day earlier, so a day ago, in a forested mountainous area in China's worst air. It's known as China's worst air disaster that has happened over a decade. And it was about an hour into the flight and nearing the point at which it began to go downward, the plane. And so wreckage of the plane was found at the scene, but up until now, none of those on the plane with whom who were in contact have still been lost and have not been found. So the plane crashed near the city of Wuzhou in Guangxi region while flying from Kunming in the southwestern province of Yunnan, so to the industrial center of Guangzhou along the east coast, and the crash ignited a fire big enough to be seen on NASA satellite images.
Oh my God.
So once again, no survivors have been found, and the search continues as we speak today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Easy.
Have any of you guys seen the Boeing documentary on Netflix?
No, but I've come across it. I've seen it.
Yeah. Was that about the Malaysian Airlines plane?
Honestly, I haven't personally seen it. I was meaning to watch it, but my sister watched it and she said it's crazy. And I don't know if it's specifically about them. I don't think it's about the Malaysian Airlines specifically, but it's basically just about some problem with the Boeing airplane or something. I wonder if this plane, did it say if it was a Boeing, the one that crashed?
It did, actually.
No way.
It did. There was specific details listed on the plane itself and whatnot. It did say that on the article.
Wow. Everyone check out that documentary, because I'm going to check it out tonight, and apparently it's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So still on the international front, we have some updates on the situation in Ukraine and Russia. So some good news and some bad news. So Ukraine has retaken Kyiv from Russia, but civilians are still fleeing at an alarming rate, especially the coastal city of Mariupol. Which has, it's a port city, so obviously it's been a key target for the Russian military. And basically the whole city has been demolished. Like, people who have been fleeing have said that there's no buildings left standing anymore. And let's see. Ukrainian, as I said before, Ukraine has taken back Kyiv. They've taken a key, more specifically a key suburb of Makariv, but the Kyiv residents are still under curfew while all of this is going on. However, Russia is still continuing to launch a siege on Mariupol, and obviously because Ukraine has refused to surrender the port city. And also, Zelensky has said that he would be prepared to consider waiving the NATO bid by Ukraine in exchange for a ceasefire. So basically, that would mean, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm interpreting that as he would like kind of back out of Ukraine's attempt to become a part of NATO if it would mean that Russia would stop attacking them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because at this point, like, the civilian toll is getting really out of hand. Like, yeah. I think they said that they've confirmed 900 civilian deaths, but they're sure that it's way more than that. Like, it's just been unable to be recorded. And I think over 100 children so far have been included in those deaths. And then on top of that, there's fears of a nuclear accident happening. Because there have been some wildfires near to Chernobyl, the nuclear power plant in northern Ukraine. However, the fires have been extinguished and radiation levels are kind of within norms. And although fires are not really uncommon in that area, it has raised some concern that radiation could be released from fallout from the 1986 Chernobyl explosion. And obviously, I think that if there is fast shelling and warfare going on in that area, like a stray shell could hit something. And yeah, the plant has actually been seized by Russian forces since last month. And the radiation monitors had stopped working around the plant due to the power being temporarily cut amid the warfare earlier on. So that's quite concerning, and that should be something we're keeping an eye on, because the last thing that Ukraine needs right now is a nuclear disaster on top of a war happening on their own soil. Yeah, and then let's see, most of everything has been destroyed in Mariupol, as I mentioned before. Like, people have been fleeing, like one family had mentioned that they had fled in their car to Poland, I think, because they six rows of buildings behind their house had been bombed.
Wow.
Yeah. And also Joe Biden has mentioned that Putin has considered using chemical weapons at this point because he is starting to feel the resistance of the Ukrainian army. And he's kind of in a hard place right now. So because of that, they're warning that he may deploy some extreme tactics to try and get himself out of that situation. However, there's no evidence of that being imminent, that the use of such weapons will be imminent, but it's been brought up. So we can't discount that as something that could potentially happen. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to put this out there because it's related. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of sort of independent, I say the mainstream media is sort of making the conflict look as though Russia is unequivocally destroying Ukraine, which they are. They definitely are destroying Ukraine. But I've seen a couple independent, like alternative news sources. One of them mm-hmm. is called Caspian Report. So mm-hmm. like Caspian, like the Caspian Sea, in this report.
Yeah.
Like a geopolitical just YouTube channel that does like rundowns of all sorts of issues with like graphics and whatnot. It's all sourced and cited, and they've made like two or three videos saying how Russia is like badly losing this war.
Yeah,
I actually saw a headline, what was it, that said a Russian Russia's caught Kosmolkaya Pravda newspaper published an article saying that nearly 10,000 Russian soldiers have been killed in the conflict.
Wow.
And then a couple hours later, the paper claimed that this was the work of hackers, which I find kind of hard to believe, honestly.
Meaning the figure being released was resolved.
They're trying to claim that it was like not 10,000 deaths, but all things considered, I think it is definitely up there, which is a huge loss of life.
And just in the siege of Mariupol alone, 2,300 people have died, and since March 15th, and there hasn't been any more updates on that. Mm-hmm. So, like, obviously, that means that many more people could have died, but we just don't know. Mm-hmm. And so far, electricity, water, and food supply have been cut off, and there's no communication with the outside world there. So more than 1,100 people since, as of today, have escaped the city and are on their way in a convoy of buses to another city northwest of Mariupol. Mm. But unfortunately, the Red Cross and other humanitarian aid convoys have not been able to reach the city to help the people who are still stuck in there with, like, medical supplies and so on. And so, like, because of its strategic location, it's been a key target, and Russia has been attacking it for 3 weeks. So, of course, you can understand why it's been, like, the worst affected area during the war.
But as depressing as all this stuff is, everybody, Ukraine is putting up a hell of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think Russia drastically underestimated the resilience in the Ukrainian people, and I don't know how this conflict is going to get resolved. Hopefully, Ukraine will declare neutrality, mm-hmm. and Russia will just back out, and then
mm-hmm.
they can just do their thing for a little bit. Or maybe it'll be like a coup in Russia that takes down Putin. Very unlikely, but if the war keeps going on and they keep getting their butt handed to them, I can see some political turmoil in Russia, something like that. Because Putin, like, drastically, logistically failed in planning this war. And
it's
tragic because of the amount of life lost.
And not only the amount of life lost, but the amount of people who are displaced. Like, 3.5 million people have fled Ukraine itself, and another 6.5 million have been displaced inside the country. So, like, 3.5 million, I think, is... the news story mentioned, like, the population of Portugal almost.
Oh my god.
That's the maybe not the population of Portugal, but like 3.5 million is roughly the population of Jamaica. Like, so imagine like a whole Jamaica leaving a country as refugees, you know?
In like 3 weeks or
one. Yeah, month. In the space of like a month or so.
You know what I saw actually? Like just now. Where was it? Basically the U.S. embassy in Kyiv reported that something like 2,800 roughly children have been kidnapped by the Russian military in Mariupol and brought back to Russia. And I think essentially from the Russian side, it would be like they're trying to evacuate them. I don't know why they would be bringing them to Russia, but obviously the Ukrainian parents whose children have just kind of been scooped up are like, that's kidnapping. That's blatant kidnapping. So I don't know if that report has been confirmed, but it was from The Guardian, and it was a tweet from the U.S. embassy in Kyiv. So
I found the actual figure in the story. So 10 million people have been driven from their homes in general, which that's the number that's similar to the population of Portugal, and almost a quarter of Ukraine's pre-war population has been driven from their homes. And then on the Russian side, estimates can vary, but the conservative figures are even in the low thousands. So, like, the human toll of this war is extremely clear.
And you know what's so crazy about it too? You said it was what, 2 million? Something 2 million? That was
3.5 million are displaced externally. So, like, they're refugees basically.
The crazy thing is that is probably what, like, 7% or something of the whole population, meaning that all the other people are stuck, you know what I'm saying, or decided to stay and just witness and deal with this destruction, which is
crazy. Because, I mean, not everyone can leave. Like, people wouldn't be physically able to leave. Some people wouldn't be able to afford to leave. Some people wouldn't want to. And then another thing is that, like, if you're caring for, like, your elderly relatives or something, you wouldn't just want to leave them there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just, the 3.5 million people are lucky, but it's just, like, a very impossible situation for the people who are left back too.
Yeah, and a lot of people were also being joining the military, even mm-hmm. civilians who are not like militarily trained or helping fight. So
yeah,
I was gonna say, just on the topic of people wanting to flee and leave, a lot of sources came out stating the discrimination that's also taking place mm-hmm. in the process of those who want to, you know, leave and escape. With how, you know,
like immigrants from other countries are not
and specifically Black people are being pushed all the way at the end of the lines and are being discriminated against even in a situation as that. And I think that in itself is not being like a lot of lights not being shed on that, but
yeah,
I've come across the various sources that have where people have come out and spoken about it too currently mm-hmm. right now. So
yeah, we were discussing that last week actually, and saying that it's really unfair that it's like the people who are there are just like students or like workers on their worker visa, and they didn't expect this war to happen, you know.
Yeah,
so they're refugees just as much as the Ukrainians are refugees. They're being affected just as much as the Ukrainians are being affected.
Exactly. And
it's just like in the midst of a war, like why are you just discriminating the people who are in the same exact situation as you know?
Exactly. I think it's kind of like I don't know, I think there's multiple reasons to it, but definitely it's like you're just sitting here like, oh, in a situation like this, like that's still a thing that's happening.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, do you still have time to be racist in a situation?
Yeah, exactly. And then I think that just speaks volumes as to how existent discrimination, racism is. Like, you know?
Definitely. Because it's like, on one hand, you could argue that, oh, tribalism makes them want to look out for their own people first.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the day, like, all of you are going to die if you stay there. So it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because once again, they're all in the same situation, right?
Everyone's in the same situation, you know? Exactly. Yeah. And then it's not even like they're trying to take advantage of the system or anything. There's no other option for them to take, you know? And it's
exactly.
Like, would you just tell them to just stay there and risk being bombed rather than try to go home?
Exactly.
You know, it's such a messed up situation.
It is.
Do you guys have any stories before I go take it away?
No, you can continue, Jeffrey.
Okay, well, just to move off of some sort of depressing political stuff. I mean, this is still, honestly, no, this is depressing and political, but in like a hilarious way. So I just came across an article this morning. I'm sure most people have heard of Kid Rock. He's sort of like a kind of rapper rock dude. I don't know, I've never really listened to him, but all I know is he's kind of a meme, and like mostly like older people listen to him. I think he was popping off in like the 2000s, I'm not sure. Either way, Kid Rock, I think we all have an image of him in our mind. So the article states, the headline states, Kid Rock says Donald Trump sought his advice on North Korea and ISIS.
So, what?
Yep. I'll break it down for you guys. I read this and I'm like, wait, what? So, basically Kid Rock went on for an interview on Fox News with Tucker Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just talking about the coronavirus pandemic, cancel culture, and whatnot. And I think it eventually got onto Trump. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, Kid Rock and Trump had a very tight-knit relationship during Trump's presidency.
Yeah.
To the point where there's a famous picture from 2017 where the rapper is shown in the Oval Office behind the Resolute desk.
Oh my God.
With Trump, Ted Nugent, and Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
Just chilling there. And so, quote, Kid Rock says, I was there when Trump one day, I was there with Trump when he ended the caliphate. And he's talking about how Trump wrote a tweet about defeating ISIS, and he asked Kid Rock, he goes, what do you think?
Oh my God.
Like, awesome. I can't add any better, says Kid Rock to the leader of the free world. So yeah, and then after he claims that they were once looking at maps, and Trump sort of points to North Korea and he asks Kid Rock, the rapper, what do you think we should do about North Korea? And oh my Kid God. Rock's like, what? I don't think I'm qualified to answer this.
Yeah.
And yeah, there you have it. That's a
wow.
U.S. foreign policy was coming from Kid Rock, it turns out. And what more needs to be said about good old Donnie J?
Other than that, depressing, but I'm not at all surprised.
Yeah.
honestly, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what to think about that, but yeah. Well, shout out to Donald Trump. And moving on to some actual politics in the U.S. instead of Kid Rock. I'm sure everyone's heard that the Biden has appointed the new Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Mm-hmm. She's the first Black woman to be Supreme Court Justice. Mm-hmm. So last month, I think right before he appointed her, he said, "It's quote, this is Joe Biden, quote, it's time that we have a court that reflects the full talents and greatness of our nation with a nominee of extraordinary qualifications." And so I thought I'd just break down some of like her qualifications and just a little bit about her. Mm-hmm. A lot of people probably don't really know too much. So she graduated from law school and served as a clerk for Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer.
Mm-hmm.
She's basically taking over his role. So she
worked
for him as a clerk.
Yeah.
So pretty good qualification right there. She also worked in a private practice and in the appeals division of the Office of the Federal Public Defender in the District of Columbia, so Washington, D.C. She served as an assistant special counsel at the U.S. Sentencing Commission, where she also later served as chair. And yeah, she seems pretty qualified. She seems, you know, when you can just look at someone like from their smile, you can tell if they're genuine or not. Like Trump's smile,
yeah.
You know that he's just like a psycho.
Yeah.
But like certain people, even Obama, you can kind of tell he's a bit of a psycho when he smiles. But like Ketanji Brown, I don't know if you guys seen a picture. She looks wholesome. I don't know. She just looks like she can do no wrong. I could obviously be completely wrong.
I haven't actually seen her face, but her accomplishments sound really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she just looks like a good person. I haven't heard any interviews yet, but I don't know. Something, I just have a gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be pretty good. And then moving on, this is Russia related news, but not the conflict. So let me just have a sip of my coffee real quick. Okay, so have either of you guys heard of Alexei Navalny?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically, for anyone who doesn't know, he was the leader, I guess still is the leader of the Russian opposition. So like Putin's political rival in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of started off as a journalist and sort of migrated into politics as he was getting support. And so he was poisoned on a plane. I think this was 2018 or 2019 when he was trying to come back, or no, when he was leaving Russia to go to Germany, he was poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
Survived, and then for whatever reason, honestly, like this is kind of his fault, I guess he wanted to make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to come back to Russia. I think this was last year, where he was immediately imprisoned upon arrival. And so this is today. So he was sentenced to 9 years in prison and fined 1.2 million rubles, which is like 65 million US dollars.
Wow.
And obviously he's done nothing wrong. It's just in an autocracy, any political opponent needs to be jailed. And he tweeted this. This I thought was really cool, actually. He tweeted, 9 years. Well, as a character of my favorite TV series, The Wire, used to say, you only do 2 days. That's the day you go in and the day that you come out. I even had a t-shirt with the slogan, but the prison authorities confiscated it, considering the print extremist.
Mm.
That is a badass tweet when you're about to go into jail for 9 years. Honestly.
Yeah.
Referencing The Wire, and he is the political opponent of Vladimir Putin. Yeah, prayers up for Navalny. We'll see you in 2031. And yeah, that's kind of all I have for today. I don't know if anyone has anything else. Anybody?
No, I think I covered all my stories.
Yeah, so I guess we're done. Yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in. Check out, I forget what the documentary is called, but it's on Netflix and it's something Boeing in the title. Check that out. Check out Caspian Report on YouTube for some sort of alternative fact-checked geopolitical analysis. And shout out to Kid Rock for guiding America. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Stay safe. Thank you.
Adios.